Good tidings, everybody, and welcome to the Secrets and Some Report podcast. That's right. This is episode one of the spinoff of the longest running Kingdom Hearts podcast, but I think we're going to count it as the same podcast for length's purposes, but you know, we'll see. I'm Mike. Hello. And this is a little bit of a different take on what we're doing bi-weekly. This is something I've wanted to do for a long time, and I figured, considering there's not really a lot of Kingdom Hearts news, and, you know, there's some downtime in between episodes, we could do something a little different. So, here's the idea behind this. A lot of media that I've consumed over my lifetime, whether it's a podcast or a show or a even like printed like columns, weekly columns, they'll do what's called a mailbag. And so the idea is, you know, back in the day, it used to be letters they would receive from fans of the show asking them questions. Obviously now with the digital landscape being what it is, there are opportunities to get that information to people faster. And I don't want anybody to, I don't want you to send me a letter. I don't want to give you my address so you can send me a letter. So I've asked members of our Discord to send questions, topics, things they want me to talk about or say or do. If you want to contribute to that sort of thing, you can go on our Discord. There's this channel that is called Secret Ansem Report. Or you can email us at AnsemReportPodcast@gmail.com. Put in the topic, Secret Ansem Report, please and thank you, to keep things a little more organized for me. But this is kind of the idea, is I'm going to, every episode, I'm going to go through kind of a couple things. This one being a little introductory episode, you know, there's going to be a few less topics, but I'm going to try to go over every topic that people posted in the Discord and more when they come up. I'm not going to get to everyone today, so if your topic didn't get brought up, don't, oh, Mike, I can't believe you didn't say the thing about the just relax, okay? We got a lot of episodes ahead of us here. And the reason we're doing this is because I really like that mailbag concept. I started to talk about this and I got distracted. You know how my brain works. And I really like that mailbag concept of like, hey, like these are things that maybe I wouldn't have talked about just naturally, maybe on stream. I don't know, but definitely not in the Ansem Report. And these things aren't necessarily Kingdom Hearts related and most of the time aren't, but they can be Kingdom Hearts related as well. If you feel like there's some kind of topic, that we don't cover on the show, maybe I'll go, hey, this would be good for the show, or maybe I'll go, hey, this would be good for the Secret Ansem Report. So keep that in mind. It can be Kingdom Hearts related. Does not have to be. I am not solely a Kingdom Hearts man. I'm a boy who knows a lot of things and does a lot of things, and I don't know how interesting I am, so I don't know how good this mailbag is going to turn out, but we're going to try it. Down the road, if Jason wants to do this kind of thing, that is a possibility as well. I know people have already asked that. And same with Tara. I don't know if she'd be comfortable sitting in front of a camera like this doing this, but maybe her and I could do one together. So keep that in mind when you're asking the questions. This is weird being on camera. I will say, before I get into this, is the camera part is weird of it. Normally when I'm on stream, I don't really like care about the camera, but recording it with a camera is a strange feeling. I'm like, what do I do with my hands? I feel like if I don't say something right, I have to like re-say it. So this is a weird experience for me. So bear with me if this is a little clunky. I think we'll get in the swing of it after doing it a little bit. Also, to mention, part of the reason I'm doing this right now, this is should be posting after the new year. Tara and I are going to Mexico with some members of our family. So there will be two of these episodes in a row instead of a regular Ansem Report, Secret Report, regular Ansem Report. It'll be two Secret Reports because Jason and I aren't going to have time to record a full Ansem Report podcast before I go to Mexico. But Happy New Year to everybody. Hope you had a happy holidays and Merry Christmas. And let's get into the mailbag. So this one is going to be kind of a reoccurring thing on this show, I think. I had multiple people ask me about music. Specifically, SBCat, Nathan, and Vetus all were like, hey, we'd like to hear you talk about some music, maybe some of your favorite albums or new music you've been listening to. So I think we're going to have like an album of the show. And so to start it off, an album I've been really into lately, and this band, you know, is pretty popular right now with a lot of the kids out there, you know, is a band called Sleep Token, and their album from this year, Take Me Back to Eden. I've been really into it. I'd heard of Sleep Token before, and I didn't, you know, So, sidebar, the older you get, the less likely you are to check out new music. That's just like, that's just how it works. I remember being a kid and my dad would be like listening to Led Zeppelin or Jimi Hendrix or, you know, some of the really cool bands that he likes, Genesis, and thinking like, you know, does my dad ever listen to anything new? You know, and the answer was no, he doesn't, because the older you get, the less likely you are to go and seek out new music. And if the radio is just playing, you listen to the radio and it's just playing the same stuff, you know, it's a lot easier to seek out music now than it was when he was younger. But like, that's not just something people do. I've tried as a man in his mid-30s to continue to seek out new music, because music is a very important aspect of my life. And the Sleep Token thing, I'd been kind of hemming and hawing on if I'm going to check it out. Tara had told me she liked Sleep Token. Panda in the Discord had told me she liked Sleep Token. And I was like, okay, these people, I feel like I have some alignment with musical taste. Obviously, Tara, for sure. And I was like, so I should probably check this out. But what really got me going is they added The Summoning, which is like the marquee track on this album, to Rock Band. And so I started playing it, and I was like, okay, all right. So now I've been listening to the whole album, and it's really good. They're definitely a unique band. They, you know, have a lot of metal influences, but then there's a lot of like, I'm trying to think of the right term. You know, I'm not really a super big genre guy, and I'll say the wrong genre for sure at times. But like almost like a Brit pop kind of deal to them. There's definitely some hip hop like influences in there. They're a very strange band, but they're very good. And I like the whole idea of, you know, similar to what Ghost does, where there's not really a face of the band. You know, they're all just like, no one knows who these guys are. They all wear masks. They all, you know, that stuff's cool to me. But the album musically is really good. I really enjoy it. I like the heavy stuff. I like the not heavy stuff. Take Me Back to Eden, the title track, is another standout track that I like a lot. Chokehold, Granite. These are all songs. Vor. There's a song called Vor, and it's good. You know how we feel about Vor in this community. But yeah, I would highly recommend Take Me Back to Eden. I've been listening to some of their other albums too, their earlier albums. They're good, but I think Take Me Back to Eden is probably the album. And I mean, this band is blowing up. The Summoning has 88 million plays on Spotify for an album that came out this year. And they have 3 million monthly listeners. So it's, I know The Summoning got real big on TikTok. The ending part of the song where, you know, it kind of slows down and it kind of sounds like something the Arctic Monkeys would do. And it's just really, it's a really sexy song at the end. You know, it really gets, ooh, yeah, you know, like what? The really groovy, really into it. But yeah, I highly recommend checking out that album if you want my rec today. I'll probably go more in depth in this when I do this album stuff, like with albums I've known for a long time. But that's just kind of my rec for today. So we'll start there. So check it out. Next question from Pokemon Trainer J, and Pokemon Trainer J not pulling any punches today, asks, what is the best video game ever and why? So when I hear someone ask what's the best video game ever, that's like an impossible question. But I can tell you what my favorite video game ever is, and that is the PlayStation 1 classic, Chrono Cross. I'll tell you a story about this game. I was gifted a PlayStation 1 in my early teens by my sister's boyfriend at the time, because he had gotten a PS2, so he didn't need the PS1 anymore. And he gave me a bunch of games. And the games that I got were like, okay, I can't even like remember. There were some that I played a ton of, and they're like, I don't even remember, couldn't tell you what they were even about or the game, but they weren't great, right? There was just not like a lot of like games that spoke to me at the time. And Christmas came around that year. It was shortly after, one of my aunts on my mom's side at our Christmas party had gotten me Resident Evil, which is funny because I don't really like those games now and I didn't then. But what I was more concerned about is that my stepmom would be like, this is evil and it can't be in the house. So I had my mom bring me to GameStop to turn it in. And I think I had turned in a couple games that I didn't like that he had given me and that. And I'm looking at these games and I see two games. I see that immediately, like, games that drew me in. Final Fantasy VII, Cloud on the cover with the Buster Sword looking up at the Shinra Tower. No idea what the game was. I had played Final Fantasy, it was called 3 at the time, but it's Final Fantasy 6, and never really gotten into it. I just was too dumb of a kid to, like, sit there and do the text. I ended up playing it later and liked it, obviously, but not something I could do. I'd played Super Mario RPG, which was a game I liked, and it's like baby's first RPG. So when I saw the word RPG on the box, I was like, okay, all right, like, I this looks cool. And it was cheap, obviously, because, like I said, PlayStation 2 was out at this point. And then the other game that drew me in was Chrono Cross. And I was like, okay. And then part of it, too, I'll be honest with you, as a dumb kid, was like, these games have multiple discs. These games have multiple discs. That means I'm getting the most bang for my buck from these games. Multiple discs on these games. So they were, you know, beefy, beefy PlayStation 1 cases. Why I can't think of the word cases. And so I got those, and I went home, and I popped in Final Fantasy VII. I didn't like it. I was like, this is kind of dog shit. I don't care. The planet's dying. I was like Cloud. I was like, man, the planet's dying? I don't give a shit. I'm just here to make money, right? And so I played it for a little bit, and I was like, well, that was a bust. Let's play the other game. And something about the aesthetic of Chrono Cross, that opening movie with Scars of Time, the song, is incredible. That's one of my favorite video game songs to this day. And just that opening movie, the way that it's shot, like, it starts off, you know, very gentle and slow, the way that song goes. And then they start showing you, like, all these, like, pew, 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 like, things from the game, right? And, like, dragons and it just the tropical aesthetic and everything about it. Like, I was hooked before I even played the game. And so I played that game, and not only was that, like, besides Mario RPG, like, my first real entry into JRPGs, but it was, like, it opened the floodgates. Because I played through that game, and then I played Final Fantasy VII, and I was like, yeah, this is good shit. And then I went to Meijer, which Meijer's a store. I guess it's like Walmart. And for those of you not in the Midwest. And I got Final Fantasy VIII. It was cheap as shit. And I got and then my sister got me Final Fantasy IX for my birthday. And then I got a PlayStation 2 and played Final Fantasy X, and it was off from there, right? And I went back and played Chrono Trigger, even though I'd never played Chrono Trigger. And so, like, that was, like, the gateway JRPG for me, which is a very important type of video game to me still to this day. And without Chrono Cross, I don't know that I'd have played Kingdom Hearts. You know, I don't know that I'd played any of this stuff. And it's not just, like, the cultural impact it had on me as a person, but it's also, I love the themes of those games about, you know, self-identity and growing up and relying on others and time is maybe my biggest enemy, and I think most people's biggest enemy, and the idea of time being personified, you know, which is a Chrono Trigger and a Chrono Cross thing, huge. So that's my favorite game of all time. Is it the best game of all time? Absolutely not. Are there some things about that game that are absolutely dog shit? Yes. Yes, there are. There are too many characters. There's the loading times on PlayStation 1 are god-awful. The game freezes frequently, but the remaster is really good and really faithful to the original game, so I highly recommend that if you want to check it out. I love Chrono Cross. I know some people, like Egg, have been playing Chrono Trigger. Once you're done with Trigger, play Cross. It got a bad rap because it wasn't exactly... Like, it's a sequel to Chrono Trigger, but it's not, like, a sequel to Chrono Trigger, if you know what I mean. Like, it's not, hey, here's Chrono Trigger 2. It's, here's a game connected to Chrono Trigger that's different. It has one of the most unique battle systems in any JRPG I've ever played. And the music, Mitsuda's soundtrack is just incredible. Just an incredible soundtrack. The aesthetic, everything about it, I love that game. And so that's my favorite game of all time. Maybe not the best game of all time. Everybody knows that's Fortnite. So, but my favorite. All right, moving on. Jip214 asks, are there any podcasts you want to make that you haven't made? So for those of you who don't know, I have multiple podcasts. I have the Answer Report podcast, which is why you're presumably here. I have What Is This? A crossover episode where me and good friend Sean _AFK are going through BoJack Horseman, the show. I've seen it. He hasn't. He's reacting to it. We're reacting to it together. It's a lot of fun. We also have a Squid Game podcast called Squid Pro Quo, where we watch the original Squid Game season one of the show. And then we just did the challenge, the Squid Game challenge, which was a lot of fun. And we were going to do it as a joke, and then it ended up we really liked the show and thought it was pretty entertaining. Another podcast that I have that's kind of on hiatus right now is Fine, I'll Do It Myself, where Jason and I, you know, Jason, my brother from the Anselm Report, we tier listed Marvel movies, and then we're going back and watching them and re-tier listing them. That one's been tougher to do just because we've been so busy, but we'll definitely come back to that. It was a Patreon exclusive the first season, and we're starting to release it on YouTube, and I think people are really excited about that, so that's definitely something we're going to come back to. And then also another one that's on a hiatus is Coached by Tara CBT, where Tara is kind of walking me through Twilight, and that one's just really tough to do because Tara and I only get so much time together, and it's a tough sell for her and me to go, hey, the time that we have together, let's record a podcast. And so that's why that one's kind of been a stop and start one for a long time, and I know a lot of people really want to see it come back. We have one episode recorded, and our plan was every Sunday we're going to record an episode. We did it one time, and because it's just so tough, like, oh, would I rather sit there and would I rather hang out with Tara and watch football together than record CBT? Probably. Would I rather go see a movie? Probably. You know, so it's just a tough deal with how busy I am with work and then everything else I do. It's definitely something we want to do. It's definitely something we want to come back to. I know people really want it, and we will eventually. But I also don't like to say, hey, here's one episode, and then here's another 6 months of no episodes. So I'd want to bank a bunch and get them going there. And, you know, that's definitely the kind of thing where it's like there's a very small audience for that podcast. Like, of all the podcasts I do, it's the one that has the least amount of people that listen to it. And so it's also tough to say, hey, what's the opportunity cost here? Like, I don't get to spend time with Tara this week other than recording this podcast, or I record this podcast and like 10 people listen, right? And that's not to say I don't appreciate the 10 people that listen, or that I don't think the podcast has potential to do more. I just don't have all the time to dedicate to it to like promote it and put a bunch of work into it compared to everything else I do. So that's kind of where that's at. I know Jip didn't ask. Jip's probably like in the comments right now. Who asked? No one asked about all these podcasts. But you did ask if there's any I wanted to make happen, and so I felt like it was important to preface it. Also, I got this water bottle for Christmas from Tara, and I put these stickers on it that Panda made, and then also the Mind Stone sticker.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So to answer Jip's question, yes. There are podcasts that I've wanted to make and I haven't. And I've let the idea that, hey, you don't have time to do this win out. A big one is, you know, for years there's been a Castlevania podcast, right, that's been talked about. And something I really wanted to do at the time. And I even had art made by the box. Show the art on screen, Mike, or whatever. And it was this thing where I was going to, because I love the anime. I love the games. Whether it's classic Castlevania, Symphony of the Night era Castlevania with all the DS games and all that, or even Lords of Shadow, the reboot that they did, that's like kind of a God of War clone. I love all those games. And I love the show. Two things happened here. One, I definitely made this project way bigger in my head. So the idea was I'm going to cover a season of the show and then cover a game, like a whole retrospective of the games, and then do the next season and then do another retrospective game. And like, it was becoming this really large project that I was going to do myself, with no co-host, no nothing like that, which is kind of why I'm doing this now, because it's the first time I think I've done this without a co-host. And it became way too big of a project and I didn't know where to start. And then something really devastating happened. Is I watched a video where someone did almost exactly what I wanted to do, but better. There's this YouTube channel called I Finished a Video Game. Yes, it's a YouTube channel called I Finished a Video Game. And dude makes these like incredible, like multi-hour retrospectives of series. And he did a Castlevania one. And it's 7 hours and 20 minutes long. And it doesn't cover the show at all, which is the only like thing that I was going to do that he didn't do. But he covers development things about the games. He covers gameplay, covers the reaction to the games, how well they did, covers like the story. It's just an incredible retrospective. I highly recommend. He's done quite a few. He just did a Metroid one, which is like 6 hours, and I was just entranced by it watching it. Like anytime I was working on stuff for the subathon, and in the background, I always had this video playing. And he's done quite a few. His channel's really blown up over the last year or so since he started doing this. And his video, he makes maybe like 4 or 5 videos a year because they're so long and so like so detailed. But it really just sucked the wind out of me doing a Castlevania podcast, because I don't know that I had anything else to say that he didn't already say. Besides, hey, the show's good. I like the show. Hey, here's the spot in the show where this is linked to the game, right? Now, could I do that podcast still with like the smaller version where it really focuses in on the show? I could. At this point, I haven't even watched Nocturne, which is the new spinoff of the show. And I just don't know that I don't have the desire to do it now. I think that seeing someone, there's two types of things that you could see on the internet as far as like creation goes. You could see something that inspires you. You could see something that's like, hey, I want to do something like that, but this, right? Or I could do that better. Or I could, you know, there's that. Or there's, oh my God, I'm never going to be as good as what that was. And so that was really devastating to that Castlevania concept. Now, are there things I can do and other things? Yes, yes. But that really hurt that concept, and I don't know that that means I am going to pick that up ever again. There have been other, like, thoughts of, like, podcasts that I could do. The Boys is a show I really enjoy, and I think that'd be a fun podcast, but I don't know what I could say about it that would people don't already know. The topic of wrestling has always been brought up to me from other people as, hey, you should do a podcast about wrestling. I just think that's such a big undertaking. That's like, pun intended. That'd be such a big deal because I'd want to be current, and there's so much wrestling on every week that it would be probably impossible for me to cover it all. And so that one's tough. I had the idea of making Sean watch every WrestleMania, and then we talk about it, but like, some of those early WrestleManias suck. They're so boring. It's like, Tara and I have been going through watching old Royal Rumbles, and the early Royal Rumbles, she was just like, I'm out. This sucks. And I was like, you're right. This early stuff sucks because it hadn't evolved to what we like today. And then there might be a podcast that has definitely been in the works for a long time with a good friend of mine that you guys might see pretty quick here. If we don't release the first episode this year, I don't know that's going to happen. So look forward to that, because that's something I'm really excited about. Last question for today's episode, and this comes from Egg of Dog 7, my son. And he asks, what is the thing in your life you're most proud of, not Kingdom Hearts related? And so that eliminates quite a few things, right? Because we want an award for the Anthem Report this year. The Anthem Report in general has been a huge source of pride and love in my life. But what I'll say instead, because I'm not allowed to say that, is 2 years ago, Tara and I bought this house that we're in. You know, that's a really big moment in my life. Buying houses is a very important, it's a very important deal. It's a lot of money you're just putting on the line, and you're really betting on yourself that you're going to be able to pay for the house, because you don't just have money. I don't have like $300,000 to just like throw down on a house, right? So you take out a loan, and you got to pay the loan and the mortgage. And so like that to me was like such a huge step for me, and I know for Tara as well. And so that's something, the fact that we did that together and we have our house together, and there's things wrong with it that we're trying to fix, and there's things wrong with it that we're never going to be able to fix. And I don't know if it's the house we're going to be in forever, but it's definitely something that I have a lot of pride that I own a house with her. We own a house together. That's pretty cool, you know? And I don't know, the way the world is right now, I don't know if there's a lot of, there's obvious people that own houses, but like, I don't know, man. There's a lot of people that don't. And like, if I was still living in my dad's basement right now, I think that's a pretty common occurrence these days for people. So, that's something I'm really proud of. Another thing I'm really proud of, I'll give Egg two answers here. How I've progressed with my like real job. It was a pretty tough year in my real job. Not to get into too much detail, but basically, I'd been working for someone for a very long time, and then they sold the company. Figuring out how to work for a corporation as opposed to just a guy has been quite a trek for me. It's been tough, but I'm very proud of the way that I have kind of taken it head on and really done my best with it. And, you know, I'm not a huge fan of working in general. I don't think anybody is. I mean, I'm sure there's like people that are like, hey, I like, you know, working to feel good about the job I did, which is great. People are going, what's your dream job? My dream job is to not have a job. My dream job is to do stuff like this and get paid for it, right? Which is still a job, so I shouldn't say it's not have a job, but a job where I can be creative and I'm my own boss, and I can do, you know, hang out with my friends, like you guys out there, and do all that stuff. But if I have to have a job, which I do to support me and Tara and my family, this is a pretty good job to have. And so I'm pretty blessed and proud of the way I've kind of reacted and how I've pushed forward through that when it was really tough at a lot of points this year. So I'm extremely proud of that. Okay, so this actually went a little shorter than I expected. So I'm going to throw one more question. I know I said Egg's question was the last question, but I'm going to throw one more question from the Discord on here. And that's from Wildcat Diana. And she kind of said, hey, you know, Game War just happened. Is Hideo Kojima overrated? I full disclosure, I don't think I've ever played a Kojima game that I've liked. I've played Metal Gear Solid 3. I guess the original Metal Gear Solid's fine. I played Death Stranding. I played the PT demo. Other things. The Metal Gear Solid in general, not a series for me. But here's what I'll say about Kojima. I don't think he's overrated. I think Jeff Keighley really likes Kojima. That's fair to say. Maybe a little too much. Maybe he, you know, the way the Game Awards went, he should have gave Kojima less time to cook there, right? But what I will say is that having people in the video game industry or in any creative industry, having people like Kojima in those industries is important. Do I vibe specifically with the type of nonsense and game that he puts out there? No, I don't. I thought Death Stranding was, and Fabio's going to kill me for this, but I thought Death Stranding was just the most mid gameplay experience I can think of. And I played it for a few hours. I didn't play the whole game. So, you know, don't kill me on this, but I just didn't think it was great. I thought it had an interesting concept. I really liked the trailers for it. The whole like beach with all the like the dead life on beach. And then you have the guys floating in the air. I was like, yo, and there's definitely footage of me being excited for that game. And then it just wasn't what I wanted it to be. And I don't know what I wanted it to be, but it wasn't that. Like I said, I do think it's important that the video game industry has creators like Kojima who don't just do the same thing over and over and don't He doesn't let people tell him what to do in the regards to creativeness, right? There wasn't like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there wasn't like really like shitty like DLC attached for Death Stranding, right? There was like the monster, the ad placement, but like there wasn't like, hey, you gotta get your V-Bucks and you gotta get your Sam Porter brought back this box you have to open in order to get more improvements to build the bridge. You know, like there wasn't any shit like that. So no one's sitting there telling him, you have to make this a game as a service, or you have to do this, you have to do that, right? And because he wouldn't allow it. And I think that's important. I think it's important that there are people, you know, kind of that big, like, auteur creator type. I think it's important that he exists. I think the video game industry needs more of those guys. And then they need to not be like assholes. That's the other part of it. I think Kojima just seems like the nicest dude. And while he doesn't take, you know, shit from anybody, it sounds like he doesn't, you know, he's not going out of his way to like be rude to anybody. And I think a lot of times, especially in video games, those auteur types do that. They tend to be like an asshole. And it's like, okay, we don't need that. We do need creative types like that, but we don't need them to be dicks. And so that's why, although I don't enjoy Kojima's games at all, just not into it, I think he's important, and I'm glad he exists. Now, could Jeff give him a little less time to cook on the Game Awards? Yes, absolutely. So I get why people would say Kojima's overrated, but I think it's just oversaturation as opposed to overrating. Overrating is such a weird concept these days because I feel like everybody says everything's overrated. And everybody says everything's underrated. And it's like, maybe everything's just properly rated. You know? Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, that is going to do it for the first ever Secret Answer Report podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you want me to read a question or talk about a topic or whatever it is, you can go to our Discord. Link is in the description below. And go to the Secret Answer Report channel and put it in there. Or you can email us at answerreportpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much for watching. Like I said, next week will be another Secret Answer Report just to get through the holidays and like the vacation that I'm going on. But then the next week, we'll be back with a regular Answer Report podcast with me and Jay talking about nothing because there's not going to be any Kingdom Hearts news. There just won't be. So thank you guys so much for listening and watching. We'll see you again next week. May your heart be your guiding key. And I'm not going to do the sign off that Jason does on the other one because I feel like that's tainting it. You know what I mean? So I'm just say goodbye. Have a wonderful night. I don't have a sign off yet. We'll figure it out.